Welcome to Beyond the Uniform, episode number 26, where my goal is to help military veterans in their civilian career. My conversation today is with Rayanne Pei.
And I'd been given great advice that it didn't matter the first job that I did, as long as I was learning from it and seeking out opportunities in the first job to be able to figure out what I wanted to do next. And so I kind of went into that with the mindset that I was just like, pick everyone's brains who I worked with, even if not on my team. And just build those relationships so that I could figure out what the next step was.
Rayanne works at Facebook as a client solution manager. Five reasons why you should listen to this interview are: one, her description of how to approach a job search. She talks about funnel and prospecting is unparalleled. Two, she talks about tradecraft and options for a 12-week MBA process that any veteran should consider. Three, she gives two fantastic examples of elevator pitches for her job at Facebook. Why her experience in the Army made her the perfect candidate for her role at Facebook. It's the best example I've heard so far of how to stand out in an interview. Four, her husband went straight to business school while she went straight to industry, and she articulates really well the advantages of each approach. And five, she earned not one, but two Bronze Stars while in the Army, so she's a complete badass. Here is my interview with Rayanne Pei. Well, my guest today is Rayanne Pei. She's joining us from Facebook's HQ. She is a client solutions manager at Facebook, where she helps financial technology or fintech marketers grow their audience in business through Facebook. Rayanne started out doing ROTC at Morehead State University, where she earned her Bachelor of Science in Psychology. After that, she served for over 7 years in the Army as an intelligence officer, where she was awarded the Bronze Star, the military's fourth highest individual military award, not once, but twice. And I have to just say that again, because I was explaining to my wife the significance there. She earned the Bronze Star twice. First for combat operations in Iraq while assigned to 1st Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division, and second for combat operations in southern Afghanistan while assigned to the 2nd Squadron, 17th Cavalry Regiment of the 101st Airborne Division. When Rayanne did transition to a civilian career, she started out at the New York Stock Exchange as an event marketing specialist. She then worked as a sales and business development member, first at Tradecraft and then at Addy before joining Facebook. So, Rayanne, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin.
I guess just to start off, first question would be if there's anything you wanted to add to your background or about your personal life.
You did a very thorough check on background. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not a lot to add except maybe that I am part of a dual military couple, or I was. My husband was also in the Army. We got out together same time and kind of took two different paths in our approach to transitioning. He went to business school, and as you said, I worked at the New York Stock Exchange. So that's been it's been nice to kind of kill two birds with one stone, where I can get a perspective that's slightly different than the one that I have in terms of experience outside of the military, seeing what he's done in business school and some of the things that he's learned that he shared with me and vice versa, so that we could kind of get the insight on the other side and understand how transitions can be different, even though we have very similar backgrounds, and even go to a similar path ahead of us. We're both in tech, both in some way related to sales and business development. And we've yet taken two different paths to get there. So it's just nice to contrast, compare and contrast and learn a little bit from each other, and then be able to share what we've learned from each other to other veterans who are transitioning.
That's great. And I know we were introduced by Jimmy Sopko. I'll add a link in the show notes to Jimmy's interview and his wife, Shauna. They were a similar situation from the Navy, where Shauna had gone to business school and Jimmy went straight to industry. And it does seem like it's a cool juxtaposition of seeing what the different paths are there, as well as being able to learn from and help each other as you took different paths there.
Definitely. Definitely.
So going back to your time in the Army, I'd love to learn about how you approached the decision to leave the Army and how you went about making that decision.
It was an interesting decision, and again, I'll align this up with the way that my husband approached it, just because he had decided, he went to West Point, and knew from the time when he went to West Point that he did not want to make the military career. And I, on the other hand, did ROTC in college, didn't realize then that I would love it as much as I did, and I wanted to make it a career once I went on active duty. And so I was, I really enjoyed my time in the military and the relationships and opportunities, and I wasn't quite ready to get out, except that after 7 years and 2 deployments, my husband had done 2 as well. It was a very personal reason when I got out, and I guess I'd say for everyone, when you leave the military, it is very personal. But it was more on the side, less about career and more about, some life decisions. I wanted to be in the same place with my husband for, a period longer than a couple of months. And so we decided to get out together. I was actually set to go be a TAC officer at West Point, which would mean that I would live at West Point. And my husband, Tom, would actually go to business school. He got accepted to school in New York. And so he would be in the city and I would be a little more upstate and really living 2 different lifestyles. And so we decided that if one of us was going to get out, we were going to make this move together. And we actually haven't really looked back. So it was a good move in hindsight. But there was a lot of, I didn't quite have the plan that he had when he got out to go to business school. I got out and then started thinking about what I wanted to do next.
Man, it's such an incredible sacrifice that the time that you both spent on active duty, I'm just thinking of what that must have been like, of just kind of like ships passing in the night of going on different deployments and how stressful that would be, and that resonates, that decision of really wanting to prioritize being in the same location, which, now for me, 10 years out of the military, it seems like such a reasonable request, but at the time it is a big decision. So
it is.
Yeah.
He deployed, let's see here. He deployed to Iraq when I deployed to Afghanistan. So it wasn't quite I know a lot of couples do opposite deployment cycles. We were on somewhat same cycle, but just different countries. And when we got back to the U.S., that was kind of the point at which we made the decision. I was a company commander at the time at Fort Campbell and loving the leadership opportunity, but I also knew that he and I had other goals and I could work towards some of my other goals. It didn't have to be in the military. And we just took the leap together same time.
That's great. And so I'm assuming when it came then time to decide about the reserves, that in line with that, you made the decision not to join the reserves. Is that accurate?
No, actually. So we were leaving Fort Campbell in the summer of 2012. And we had several months of terminal leave that had wrapped up, 3 months actually. So we decided that we wanted to do the reserves. We each had only 1 year left of inactive ready reserve. So we thought, I wasn't sure what I was doing next. This would be a good way to kind of bridge the gap. And then he was kind of along those lines. I think we hadn't really thought through what that would be like, and being a civilian and putting on the uniform once a month and kind of like be having 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And by the end of the 3 month terminal leave period, we both decided we had units that we were assigned to in New York. We both just decided towards the end of that leave period that we would just not do it. And it would be a full cold turkey, get out of the Army. And so, I think for him in business school, he was really busy there and his weekends were reserved for school. And for me, I just wanted to do a clean cut. And so we just didn't continue with the reserves.
It's great that you had those 3 months to just let the dust settle and let life sink in. And I know for me, you know, I didn't expect the transition to civilian life to be big. And in retrospect, it, you know, definitely was, obviously. And so it's nice that you had that time to kind of adjust and then make that decision. And I was curious to know about, when you do look back about the first year or two out of the military, what was some of the more surprising aspects about that transition to civilian life that you didn't really know to expect at the time?
What surprised me? I think it was probably needing to take, for me personally, to take a step back and understand that while I had, you know, 7 years worth of experience that could be potentially translated to anything I want to do next, figuring out what that is was really, really hard. And I didn't think it would be as hard as it turned out to be. It's, I think, hard for maybe at least two different reasons. One, the military is a very prescribed career path and trajectory, and you know relatively, well, you know what you need to do to move up. In civilian world, not only do I not know what I need to do to move up, I don't even know where I'm going to start from. Yeah. I wasn't sure, you know, what industry, what function, what type of company. I was surprised when I learned more about the different types of companies. I just kind of lumped business as one big, I guess you could say, I wouldn't want to call it business an industry, but one functional area. And obviously it's different from company to company. So I wasn't thinking through those types of things. And that kind of shocked me at how much opportunity there is out there. And I really needed to figure out a way to distill down what were my strengths, what were my weaknesses, and what was I passionate about? I knew what I was passionate about in the military, but I didn't know what I didn't know about the civilian world or even corporate America. And so I had to just start somewhere.
I definitely relate to that sense of for me, it was overwhelm of the number of career possibilities and not even knowing the language. It's just kind of, it just felt like thousands of possibilities, most of which I'd never heard of and didn't know what they were. But the one of the aspects you spoke to that I hadn't realized too is just the it's like off-roading. Like there are very well established concrete roads in the military between different career potentials. And in some ways it feels like you're being spoon-fed, or that it's kind of with training wheels where there's only a few, you know, relatively few possibilities. But then once you make that transition, not only are there 1,000 possibilities, but there's no rule book. And you know, it's like off-roading where you could literally choose anything, and that could lead to anything else. And obviously some paths are harder than others, but there's no rules or regulations defining what you can or can't do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you go about then, especially when you got to the New York Stock Exchange, how did you start to refine what sort of job you were looking for, and how did you ultimately choose the New York Stock Exchange?
That's a good question. I would say when I first started looking, I was interviewing for jobs. Something that I learned initially, I started looking at what I wanted to do, and I thought that I wanted to go to nonprofit. I thought I wanted to stay away from, you know, a public company. I wanted to work in the nonprofit sector because I thought that was close to fulfilling the need to continue to serve in some capacity. And I was thinking about some type of a veteran service organization. And so I was looking at roles for those. And the area, I think the place that it tripped me up a bit was that I wanted to interview at one place at a time. And I learned this, a very painful lesson that I learned was I couldn't do that because I needed to, one, it was a full-time job to find a job. So I should be putting, it should be something, you know, I'm working at every single day on many different levels. But I was thinking, it felt very, it didn't feel genuine to go into an interview and to tell a hiring manager that I wanted to work for them or that I wanted to work at their company and be passionate about that when I was going, you know, later that day and having the same conversation with another company. And that was the wrong way to approach it. I know that now. But that's what I did in the beginning. And
how did you, this, I mean, I think that's, I really appreciate your candor on that. And I'm wondering how did you, and I'm just thinking of in my own life, the ways in which I viewed things from a certain perspective that prohibited me from fully attacking it. And I'm wondering, how did you reconcile that with yourself? Or how did you kind of evolve past that viewpoint?
Well, so for, I guess I could look at like my transition. In 4 years, I've gone through the interview process twice. The first time was getting out of the Army and landing at the stock exchange. And the second time was 2 years later, leaving New York and moving to San Francisco and starting the process again. So I don't think I really learned the lesson the first time. I was fortunate that I attended a day-long kind of an interview networking workshop at the stock exchange, and a job came out of that. That worked out that time. So I didn't really get to learn the lesson then. It was the second time around that I found myself beginning to take the same approach, and I would get I would make it through several rounds of interviews sometimes just to find out in the end that it doesn't work out. And that is devastating to your psyche. And so my husband, actually, he was like, you have to get over this, this wall, whatever it is that's telling you that you can't be talking to, you know, to multiple companies at once. Like, that's crazy, because one, you'll learn a lot in each interview process, even if it's not the interview or the company that you want to work for. You'll learn a lot about what you do want, what you don't want, and your story will refine over time. And so as I started to build my funnel for job companies that I wanted to work for, and I can talk later about how I prospected, but as I built out that funnel, I realized he was right, and others had told me this too. Like, get over, they're looking at multiple candidates just like I'm looking at multiple companies. And that's the way of the game. That's the way it works in the civilian world. And so just do it and don't think about it. And I did, and the conversations became easier. My story was so much more, it was a rich story, but concise story. And suddenly it was like I hit my stride, and I could also leverage what I got learned in one interview in another. And if I got an offer, leverage that, you know, with the other companies, long, you know, legitimate offers from each. And that's where I started to see wins in the interview process, where I was getting, you know, I was gaining traction basically, and got offers out of that. And that's when, you know, I share now in hindsight that that's what I should have been doing before I interviewed at the New York Stock Exchange. Just to, you know, to fill that pipeline and learn through the process what I want to do, what I don't want to do. I was reading, I was talking to people, networking in that regard, and asking people about what they do, why they decided to do it. Was this what they always wanted to do? But I wasn't doing the interviews themselves in the beginning. I was doing one at a time, and that takes forever.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, I know about myself now. I learned so much more from hands-on experience than just the academic exercise. And, and as you're saying that, I'm just thinking of my fundraising experience, sales experience, hiring experience, interviewing experience. Like, all of them have been about getting as many iterations as possible and learning and making mistakes and then refining and moving forward. And so I definitely agree with what you're saying, of just having as many at-bats as possible to be able to not just land the job interview and get the offer. But like you said, you start to learn about, it's such a valuable way to learn about the type of team you want to work with, the type of company, the type of environment, and you're getting just more and more flavors for the different possibilities and getting that gut feel of what you'll like or dislike.
Right. Yeah. While I was at the exchange, initially the role was for a board, it was a board event manager role. Kind of having one foot working for the board of directors and the other foot in our marketing team. And that's where I was exposed to marketing and sales. And initially the job was kind of pitched to me as you'll work for the corporate secretary and the board of directors, and you'll plan all logistics for their board of events or board events around the world, because these directors are coming from all over the world. So they'll moved to different locations each quarter. And so I thought, well, this will be an opportunity. I understand logistics. I understand the importance of it, and I can plan to a T. I understand protocol. I understand, you know, working with senior leaders in an organization, because I did that in the military. And so that was what I saw as access to learn from there. And I'd been given great advice that it didn't matter the first job that I did, as long as I was learning from it and seeking out opportunities in the first job to be able to figure out what I wanted to do next. And so I kind of went into that with the mindset that I was just like, pick everyone's brains who I worked with, even if not on my team, and just build those relationships so that I could figure out what the next step was. Also, because I knew that with my husband in business school, we may not stay in New York. And so I didn't feel tied necessarily to working at the exchange for the rest of my career. And so I figured out pretty quickly that, one, working with the board, I had access to leaders in not just finance, but in their own industries that they were coming from. You know, there were lawyers and those who were more on the HR side for compensation. And so I was getting a feel of how they thought about business, how they thought about leadership and managing teams and organization that was a different flavor from what the military taught me. And I also, on the business side, I would plan product launches and initial public offerings for listed companies of the New York Stock Exchange. And so working with those, with the sales team, I liked that they were client facing and that they were driving our business forward. And I really liked that it was measurable. You could measure the impact that they were having on what their clients were able to, what their clients were doing as a listed company on the stock exchange. And so that helped me to get some clarity around what I would want to do next. As we started thinking about, we were going to move to San Francisco. My husband had gotten a job out here after school. And so I was interested in tech. And I thought, okay, so if there's any time to make another transition, it would be now. We're moving from, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, heart of Silicon Valley. I just need to build my network. And so how will I do that? And how will I get something that's on my resume that people think, okay, well, she's got more than just the military. She has some experience in this, you know, whatever that is that she wants to do. And so that's when I got into Tradecraft.
And you know, one of the things I love about your approach is that it sounds like you were able to find a first career that leveraged your experience from the military in operations and logistics and keeping the ships moving, and also give you exposure to a lot of different functional areas within the organization. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that advice, which I love that you'd received, was really helpful of approaching this as the first job of many, lowering the pressure on figuring everything out, just trying to get that first lily pad to be able to launch on to the next thing. And in other interviews, it does strike me that a lot of people regret that they approached that first job as the end-all, be-all, and having to nail everything, which is a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
That is. Yeah. Definitely.
And I think that, I imagine that allowed you then to just go in tactically and start thinking of the skills that you wanted to build to help you in a lifelong career rather than just approaching this as a single job.
Oh, exactly. And it took, you know, that was 2 years of exposure to, like you said, many different functional areas and many different people. And it wasn't speed dating. It wasn't speed networking.
Yeah.
It was genuine relationships and time to really understand what it is that people do. And if that resonated with me, you know, why, and would I want to do that?
That's down great. The road. And you mentioned tradecraft. I'd love, you know, for someone on active duty that might not be familiar with tradecraft, how would you explain their program?
Well, it is a 12-week tech immersion program that focuses at the time. I'm not sure if they have more tracks now, but at the time, they had three tracks. And I didn't even understand what two of them were, but I knew for sure the one I wanted to do they had, and that was sales and business development. The other was user experience, which is more on the design side, and growth. So in, you know, Silicon Valley, it's referred to as, you know, it's more on the marketing, but growth hackers, you know, learn how to be a growth hacker. So there were those three tracks, and I wanted to do sales and business development. And
you knew that from New York Stock Exchange, or how did you know that?
Part of it was from the Stock Exchange, understanding that I wanted to be where, like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, driving business forward. And I felt like in sales, you're kind of the tip of the spear. And there, from what I had heard, you know, there's an adrenaline aspect to it. You know, you've got a target, you have to hit that. When you do, it feels really good. And it's nice to have that goal in front of you. And the bar is constantly getting raised. That was something that's, you know, just talking to some people when I worked at the Stock Exchange and observing our sales team there, I got a little bit of a feel for when I found out about tradecraft. I thought, well, this could be the avenue that I can take to get into a sales role, because I also had heard that it would be difficult to do without sales experience on my resume, to say that I've carried a quota, that I've been responsible for driving, you know, building business and driving revenue. And so it was a perfect opportunity for me at the time, because it was a short program, not something where, you know, I was committing to a new job necessarily, and I would be able to also build my network out here to potentially get into a role that I was interested in.
And so what was the 12 weeks like? And I'm imagining you have like a starting class. Is there like 50 people in this with you? And like, what were those 3 months like?
There were actually only about 10 people in my class. We were early days of Tradecraft's existence. And so they were a very new organization, and a couple of classes had gone before me. And so we were small. They were still building out their program. But the thing for me, I think was I saw Tradecraft as a mini business school. So you just think boot camp, you put in, you know, to not take anything away from anyone who's gone to business school. But I thought, okay, if, you know, there's cost benefit analysis, if I commit, you know, I can commit 12 weeks to this, or I can commit 2 years. And right now it makes more sense for me personally to do 12 weeks. I also saw that there's a pretty strong network of mentors at Tradecraft. So people in the industry, in tech, that work across the three areas. I would get introduced to people like that. I could start to build a network in California that didn't exist, you know, because I had just moved. And so I just thought, this sounds a lot like opportunities you would have at school, only at the end of the 12 weeks, I would, you know, be looking for a job. So
that's great. There's another conversation I just had, and I'll put a link in the show notes. It's not out yet, but it was around coding academies and around just kind of questioning, you know, and I went the traditional business school route, but kind of questioning the investment of time and money that any formal education requires, and all of the amazing, very deliberate programs that teach you a skill or give you knowledge that you can then directly apply. I think that it's something that every veteran should at least consider, and and being able to, like you said, to consolidate that experience. And I'm imagining a lot of your, a lot of the program was much more practical than strictly theoretical, which a lot
Definitely.
So did they have you doing like actual sales work, or did they have you meeting with salespeople, or how did they teach you about the world of sales and business development?
It was actually set up that we taught a lot to each other. There were many people that came into the program with various experience and very different backgrounds. You had some who were lawyers and have been in a past life and decided to start their own company, but they wanted to get a little more understanding around sales and how to approach that when they're starting their company and not hiring a sales team. And you had other people who had done sales before. They were coming in and wanting to now get into tech. And so it was more for a networking piece for them. So there was, for me, I guess, coming in thinking about from a military perspective, I think what I brought to the table was the rest of the team understanding processes and how to, frankly, just get shit done.
Yeah.
And this was a startup environment where I had to wear many hats and just kind of figured out. So it's really like bringing the different backgrounds together and people teaching each other. But I think ultimately we had Tradecraft has companies that they invest in, and those companies are startups, do not have sales teams. And or anyone in business development, it's usually, you know, the founders who are doing that. And so they have a benefit of also, besides receiving funding from Tradecraft, they also have the ability to tap into the students at Tradecraft who are part of the program. And so for me, that's how I started working with Addy. They were pre-sales team with just their two founders and one other person. And I helped build their go-to-market strategy and start refining the processes around their pitch, their demos, and then how to close some deals and get new business and start to grow their user base for their company. And so that was the experience, the tangible experience that I walked away with and was able to speak to that in interviews and articulate what I wanted to do next because I understood how the process worked and also had more of the business acumen that would help me in the industry.
Man, that's such, I didn't realize that other component, but I can imagine the value to startups of having someone come in who can very quickly help them figure out that side of their business, and the value to you of being able to learn in such a practical, hands-on way.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
It sounds like a very, very cool program. If someone was interested in Tradecraft, I'm just wondering, what does the landscape look like? Is there other programs like that that they should consider as well?
There are so many programs, all, like you said, different flavors. Some have more of a focus on coding. I do believe Tradecraft now has a coding track. There's another company, an instructor who had been my instructor at Tradecraft. He went with a couple of other people and they founded a new organization called GrowthX or Growth Academy. And it's very similar where they're working with startups and at the same time bringing in people who, you know, have a great skill set that they could definitely add value in at these startups, but just don't have, you know, they're transitioning and they need to figure out want to figure out how to do that and go into a new industry. And so these programs are great for the pivot.
That's great. Yeah, I imagine that these sorts of programs will play a larger and larger role in the years ahead of just being very efficient in one's use of time and resources in being able to learn a skill, get experience, and then move on. Mm-hmm. And so what brought you, you know, actually, before we move on to Facebook, you had talked at the start about your thoughts on you'd called it like a funnel and prospecting.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm mad. And I think you were referring to when you were starting to move out to California and looking mm-hmm. at Facebook. So I'd love any advice you have on how you went about that next job search, that second iteration.
Well, like I said, when I first got out of the Army and thought about what that first job would be and how I approached the process, I was focused on a service style role, you know, a nonprofit where I felt like I was giving back to something. And I kind of struggled with that. I learned over time that you can give of your time in many, you know, to many things outside of work. And you could still love the job you do, but it doesn't have to be, you know, specific to, say, a nonprofit. And so, when I was at Tradecraft, I focused on, one, we focused on our strengths in the beginning. There was a lot of 2 weeks of time to be very introspective and think about what we're good at. Forget about what you're not so great at, because I think studies show that it's really difficult to move the needle on your weaknesses. And it's really easy to move on your strengths and to really grow. And so we focused on those things, and that's where I did a lot of soul searching, thinking about what I wanted to do next beyond just going into sales, but what type of company, what type of level role, you know, what was the company selling? Did I believe in what they're selling and their product? Does it have a good culture? And so I started thinking through, Tradecraft gave me the time to think through all of these things that many of us don't ever have the opportunity to stop and think about. We just move from one job to the next. Probably while we're in one, we're interviewing for another. And Tradecraft was the time to take pause and think about that. And what I found was that culture was huge for me. I had gone from a company at the stock exchange that was 200 some odd years old, and to come out here to San Francisco, and a lot of these companies are baby in comparison. And so I just thought about that and thought about how the culture could be different because of that factor, just, you know, the work demographic or work employee demographic, you know, who works there, how long have they been there, how big are the teams, is it a hierarchical organization or is it relatively flat? So, and I learned about these things at these companies by talking to people who worked there. And I started to create a list where I weighted culture as, you know, the holding the heaviest weight. And then I looked at, okay, so if these are companies that I think I might be interested in for this reason, do I know someone there? And what I found was, just through looking through LinkedIn, I found vets at just about every organization I was interested in. And then I looked to see if I had any connection with anyone there. And most of the time, the vet connection, even if I didn't know the person, was stronger than just finding someone who was a second or third degree connection on LinkedIn who may not be a veteran. And so I've heard this many times, and I'll always say this myself. There's something about reaching out to a veteran, or when a veteran reaches out to me, I'm really quick to respond, because even if I don't know them, and I feel like when veterans respond to me, despite not knowing me, because we have some type of an idea what that person stands for. And if we don't, we can figure it out quickly just based, you know, looking at their background or talking to someone, because we're probably only a couple degrees connection removed. And people are willing to, if not vouch for me from the beginning, they're at least willing to entertain, you know, take a phone call. Or do coffee or something like that, because we have a common background, and that just immediately connects us. And so I went the route of just reaching out, mostly reaching out to veterans. And I would find a vet at each company, and that was where the conversation started. And that process ran in parallel with me continuing to do research, other companies, and keeping about 50 companies at any given time in my funnel, so that I could gradually, you know, if I had 50 to start with, and I could find a couple of connections in each one, and gradually get build relationships and potentially get an interview. Maybe out of the 50, I could at least land five interviews or five offers and leverage them against each other and find where my fit was.
That's awesome. I'm just impressed with the incremental improvement between your first job search and your second. You're a quick study. What led you to Facebook in that process, and also for someone on active duty, how would you explain to them what a client solution manager is?
I guess I'll take the first one. What led me to Facebook was actually a vet connection. A friend of mine who I knew in the Army, and he had gone to school with my husband, his wife is on the team that I'm on now, and she reached out to me at the time. This was probably 6 months before I started at Facebook. She reached out and said, "Hey, you all are moving out here. Would you want to think about working at Facebook?" And what she had in mind was policy, communication, something that she thought aligned with her, you know, in her limited understanding of the military. She thought that aligned with my background. What she didn't know, because, I mean, this is the first time she's reaching out, was that I wanted to do something slightly different, at least maybe on paper doesn't really, there's not a clear connection between the military to what I'm doing now. And so I wanted to do something different, and she didn't know that. I didn't want to go into something that's maybe more of a traditional veteran role. And so that's where we had the conversation that I wanted to do sales. And she said, "Okay, well, you know, that's where I work. That's what I'm doing now." So we work with marketers or with companies who in the financial services space who are advertising on Facebook. So we're in, you know, the digital ad space. She's like, "This is what I do." And that was where the conversation first started. And then she started a few months. I told her I wanted to wait until Tradecraft was finished and I would have a much better understanding. And so at that time I reached out a few months later and she referred me. And she explained to me then, do not go through, you know, don't apply online. If you, you know, for one, she got the referral fee, but two, applying online just puts me into a black hole with everyone else. Coming through the referral channel can get me through faster. And it would usually get me a first call. I interviewed for a couple of different roles at Facebook. I did not immediately go straight into the one I'm in now. The first one didn't work out. I didn't think it was a great fit, and I don't think they did either. It was a recruiting role. And I was disappointed just because it was frustrating. It was going to take longer than I anticipated. But she reached out again when a role opened on her team and said, "Guess what? It's sales. And, you know, this is the team I'm on. So I can definitely vouch for you and speak to the rest of the team speak to your background." And so I think the reason I tell that part of my story is because it took a long time. It may not be the first role, and I continued interviewing for other roles, but had I gone ahead and taken something that I didn't want, the role at Facebook, the one that I'm in now, opened up later. It wasn't available when I first started interviewing. And I could have missed that opportunity if I had become frustrated and just said, "I'm not going to deal with, you know, with this, and I'll just take the first thing that comes." And so I really had to exercise patience in the process if I wanted to do work that was fulfilling at a company that I really liked.
I mean, I love that. I love that lesson around not, you know, if you can avoid it, not going through the front door, not going through the online application, but finding that intro that seems to make an enormous difference.
Yeah.
And I love the tenacity of not being discouraged by a poor fit or by a rejection, but just keep showing up and good things come out of that. And that led to a role that you were going to be much happier in.
Yeah.
And you know, Facebook does seem to be mentioned by a lot of people, a lot of veterans, as a company they would aspire to work for. I'm wondering, I guess two things I'm wondering there is, any advice you would give, any additional advice about applying to Facebook, as well as you look at the veterans within Facebook, if there's any trends you see in common paths, whether that's a job they work at before, or a school they go to, or a type of degree they get, just kind of painting that picture of different ways to wind up at Facebook.
I think that, well, let's see here. For me, the role that I'm in, I had to think about the experience that I've had that made me perfect for this role and made me able to articulate why the day they hire me, if they did, that I would bring value from day one. And so when I thought through, I had one in the interview process, asking the people I spoke to questions that would help me to get more clarity around what their, you know, what the day-to-day looks like, how the team works together, how they work with their clients, so that I could really understand and be able to tie my story to that. So those were informal interviews. Those were just, you know, talking to people who worked, like my friend or others who worked at Facebook, not in the interview process, but in the interview process, I had four or five stories, and all of these stories could be tailored to different roles that I was looking for. And they could also be tailored as different responses to questions that I'm asked. Those are kind of stories I carry around in my back pocket over time, and I used those in the interview process. Facebook is all about people and telling stories and giving examples. And I think any interview process you go through, people want those examples, not just what did you do, but how did you do it? And so I would try to make it as easy as possible for them to understand my background and why it made sense. So for instance, I was an intelligence officer. When I was deployed to Afghanistan, it was my responsibility to do my homework and come to the table, you know, with the leadership to give them recommendations on where to do operations, when and why, and to prevent people from getting killed. And while that may not translate in terms of, you know, lives at risk, it's at Facebook. My day-to-day job at Facebook today is to look at the data that advertisers around their marketing strategies, look at the data and come to the table with senior marketers in the industry for them to be able to make decisions that will help them drive their business forward so they can feel comfortable and confident in what I'm giving them, so they can make those decisions. And so I tried to paint that picture. Both of the jobs, military, civilian, require me looking at data to inform decision making.
I think this is just such great advice, not just for Facebook, but for any company. And I love, first of all, I wholeheartedly agree with make the interview process easier. Have the 3 to 5 stories that show how you did something, what you did, and paints that picture of who you are. And you can slot those stories in to the questions they ask you. And I remember at business school and preparing for consulting interviews, it was exactly that way of like, okay, in this first round interview, I used up these 2 stories. So now for this next interview, I've got these other ones. And how can I take the question and steer it where this story is applicable?
Exactly.
And then I also really, really loved, and I'll put a... in the show notes, I'll put the specific time marker in the interview, but I just loved when you explained how your background applied to Facebook. And I think you did a very elegant way of again, spoon-feeding the interviewer and taking your background and perfectly wrapping it up in a package that applies directly to the job. They don't have to do any of the thinking of how can I use this person, but just like you said, how I can add value from day one, which is what they're looking for.
Right, exactly. Another point to that, on the sales side, so my job is part, you know, looking at the data, and the other part is more on the soft skills that can be harder, the relationship piece and building relationships and why they're important. And so I said, when I was in my last unit, I was an intelligence officer in an aviation unit supporting infantry. And I had come from an infantry unit beforehand. So you can imagine when I got to that unit in the 101st, these aviators thought that, okay, so she's an intel officer. She knows what she's doing in that regard, but she doesn't know our perspective. She doesn't understand how my airframe is different than the next Apache from Black Hawk to Kiowa. And I figured out from the very beginning, right before we deployed to Afghanistan, that I had to understand their perspective and what it was what their goals were, to be able to build a relationship with them so that they trusted not just what I was giving to the commander who made decisions, but they flew every day on their own, you know, and a commander was not sitting with them in the cockpit necessarily. And they needed to know that I was a credible source and that when they brought intel back to me, that I did something with it. And so it's kind of the same thing in what I do today. I work with product marketers, I work with engineers, and I work with the client. And I'm right in the middle of all of that, balancing both sides, giving them all what they need. And it's kind of an internal sell to the marketing side and those who are building our ad products. And it's an external sell, so to speak, to the clients. And the relationship is key in every one of those, building the credibility with them and helping them to do their job better than they'll help me. Mm. And so that is sales. That's more of the consultative side that I really enjoy. And that's what I enjoyed about my last unit, well, any unit that I was in. It was building rapport with the people that I was supporting.
That's great. I'm conscious of the time here, and I'm also aware that I've got like 1,000 questions I would love to ask you. I guess one that's just kind of itching in the back of my mind is with you and your husband, with him going to business school and you going straight to industry, it seems like that's the perfect combination, where as a couple, you're able to derive the most value from two different paths. But I'm just curious, having those two different paths, in what ways do you feel like you were advantaged going straight to industry? And in what ways do you feel like he was advantaged going to grad school first?
He was advantaged because he had the time I got 12 weeks at Tradecraft to pause. He moved very fast in school, and you know, it was a very busy lifestyle. He took advantage of every opportunity to build those relationships, to pick people's brains, because he was surrounded by classmates who had been in the industry, who had been in the civilian side, had been working for a few years before school, and he could learn from them. And I met the same people. He introduced me to people, and I got that. So I benefited there, but he was in it every day with them. And I feel like that's something I did not get in the first 2 years. I had to kind of create the opportunities, whereas he was on campus and they were created for him to some degree. There were, you know, a lot more of them, and I had to go out searching. I think that when we moved to San Francisco and he started working post business school, he got the taste of what going into corporate America felt like, and I had experienced it 2 years before. And so I had a better understanding of, you know, sometimes people don't understand you. They don't know what you did before this. They might undervalue or underestimate you. And it just takes time. And so because I understood that, when he came home and maybe he explained how someone didn't understand, or he was having trouble articulating or whatnot, then I could kind of, I had been there. I'd kind of gone through that piece and at least empathize. And so that's where we kind of learn from each other. I would say that business school. I'm still considering business school, not necessarily a full-time program, but I think that there are intangibles you can that you can get from school that you can't get elsewhere. And on the flip side, going ahead and working in industry, you learn on that side too. I think you learn on both. So it's really a matter of what is it you have to do if you don't go to business school that can help get you to the point where you were when you left the military. And that's something I took a little more, I took a few steps down, but more of an entry-level role to start. And within 2 years, I was back to the level, relatively speaking, that I was when I left the Army in terms of pay and maybe even, you know, opportunity to move into other areas. Whereas he came straight out of business school, and that is what helped him, what propelled him to be able to enter the workforce back at the level he was when he left the military.
It's a great, that's a great description of it. Well, I'm picturing Mark Zuckerberg patiently waiting outside your conference room trying to come in. I really appreciate your time on this. I know I've learned a lot from this. It's been very energizing, and I know the listeners will as well. So thank you so much for making the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Three quick announcements. First, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean a lot if you take a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes. It helps me get this work further out to the veteran community. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.